Good morning, everybody. My name is Yehuda Mann. I'm Sgan Rosh Midrash at the Ben Yerushalayim Chagav, and welcome to Tanakh in a Day, a tour in Israel. Tanakh in a Day is dedicated by Serena and David Kashitsky in memory of Riva Kashitsky, Zichron Levracha. This year is dedicated by Shana and Laser Friedman in memory of Shana's parents, Harav Michiel Michal Ben Harav Eliezer Lipa, and Malka Bat Rav Chaim Yoshua. It is also dedicated by Karen Rabbi Mordechai Turchiner in honor of Ronit Ben Dayan. Thank you very much for today's sponsors and sponsors of today's shiur. So today I decided to talk about Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. And I decided to speak about Yam HaMelech because it's a place that personally I love going to. When I was in Israel, so I used to go there quite often, sometimes for Pesach, sometimes for trips. It's a very beautiful place, a very nice place to be. Sometimes it's kind of hot there, but it's very nice. It has a dry air. It has also for medical reasons, many people go there as well, for their skin, for breathing. It's a very nice place. I was there for many trips, high school and Pesach. It's a very, very nice place to be. And I wanted to explore two main questions regarding Yam HaMelech. First of all, what is Yam HaMelech? The title of the shiur is the Dead Sea, but in Hebrew it's called Yam HaMelech. I want to explore what exactly is Yam HaMelech in Tanakh and according to Chazal. And the Dead Sea, when was it created? When was the Dead Sea born? Was it created from the beginning of humankind, or it was created afterwards? And we'll see that we have some halachic ramifications to this question, when it was created. So I've sent out the source sheet, and let's look. What is the Dead Sea? What is Yam HaMelech? So in source number one, I brought the Rambam discussing the laws of tzitzit. As we all know, men wear tzitziot, and today some put on also tiltchelet. In previous years, all of us used to put on tiltchelet. It was a colorful thread on the tzitzit, which was with the color of tchelet, kind of light blue. It's also a big discussion what is exactly the color of tchelet. And the Rambam says, how do we produce this tchelet? How do we make this tchelet? How do we make this color, this dye? So he says that we use the blood of a chilazon. It's in source number one. That we use the blood of a chilazon. And this chilazon, its blood is black as ink. And where can I find this fish? Where can I find this chilazon? I can find him in, this fish is found in the Dead Sea. That's what the Rambam says. In Hebrew, and the translation says it is found in the Dead Sea. So we would assume that will be in the Dead Sea in Yam HaMelech. However, as far as I know, there aren't any fish today in Yam HaMelech. It's the Dead Sea. No one can live inside Yam HaMelech. And there's also another problem saying that Yam HaMelech is, in fact, the Dead Sea. Why? Because the Emet Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, says in source number two, he says it doesn't make any sense that we'll find this snail, this fish, in Yam HaMelech. Why? Because the Gemara says in Megillah, let's read source number two. We learned in Megillah that the snail was in the territory of Zevulun, and the Dead Sea was not in Zevulun's territory. I'll share with you the screen. We'll see inside the map. So we'll see there that here is the Dead Sea. Here is Yam HaMelech over here, down south in Eretz Israel, in Israel. And the territory of Zevulun is way, way up high, up north. So says the Emet Yaakov, if the Gemara tells us that we'll find this snail, this fish, in the territory of Zevulun, so how could it be it will be in Yam HaMelech? Yam HaMelech is over here. Here's the territory of Zevulun. It doesn't make any sense to say that Yam HaMelech, that the Rambam says that we could find there the snail, the fish, is in fact the Dead Sea. It cannot be. So the translation doesn't make a lot of sense. So he says, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, so we must say that when the Rambam says the salt sea, Yam HaMelech, he doesn't mean the Dead Sea, but rather every sea that its waters are not sweet like the Kinneret. He says that when the Rambam tells us and mentions this place called Yam HaMelech, it's not the Dead Sea. It's not the Yam HaMelech that we know today as the Dead Sea. It's something else. It's something else. It's every sea, it's every place that its waters are not salty, but rather, sorry, they're not sweet, but rather they're salty. So it could be the ocean, it could be the Mediterranean, it could be every other sea, not necessarily just not the Kinneret, but when the Rambam says Yam HaMelech, it's not the Dead Sea. He brings some evidence. He says, I was afraid to suggest this idea until I found some sources that supported this idea. And he says that in the end of the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam writes, it tells a story that he used to travel from Spain to Egypt. And he says that he was in exile. He had to wander around the world. And he wrote these ideas and laws when I was on the boat on the salt sea. The Rambam says that he wrote the Perush Mishnah as part of these laws when he was on the boat on the Dead Sea, on the salt sea, on Yam HaMelech. Says Rebbe Kamenetsky, if you're going from Spain to Egypt and you're going around, you're not traveling on the Dead Sea. You're not traveling on Yam HaMelech. So you see clearly from here that the Rambam called Yam HaMelech, the salt city, not the Dead Sea as we all know today. Rather, he's referring to the Mediterranean, which is also a salt sea, because every sea that its waters are salty, the Rambam calls it Yam HaMelech, the salt sea. So according to the Rambam, when we say Yam HaMelech, it's not necessarily the Dead Sea. It's every sea that its waters are salty. Is that only the opinion of the Rambam or also the opinion of our rabbis? We find Yam HaMelech in Chazal many times. There's a Mishnah in source number 3 that if someone finds a vessel, in the case of one who finds a vessel, and upon the vessel there's a figure of the sun, a figure of the moon, a figure of a dragon, he must take them and cast them into the Dead Sea. The Mishnah says, Yolichem Yam HaMelech. If someone finds a vessel, some kind of instrument that he suspects that maybe this instrument was used for idolatries, this was some kind of form of Avodah Zarah, so you should throw this away. You cannot derive benefit from this vessel, so you throw it away to, the Mishnah says, Yam HaMelech. And the translation, William Davidson translates it and says, this is the Dead Sea. Okay? So I came across a very interesting tshuva that a contemporary Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, asks. He says, in source number 4, what happens if there are people who are scuba diving in the Dead Sea, in Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea? And then they find inside the Dead Sea, they find some pieces of gold. Are they allowed to benefit from this gold? The Mishnah that I just read said that we used to throw idolatries to Yam HaMelech. The Mishnah says also in Masechet Pesachim, I didn't bring it here, says that also if someone dedicates today something to Beit HaMikdash, he wants to dedicate some kind of vessel or instrument to Beit HaMikdash, so so today there's no Beit HaMikdash, so you have to throw it away. You cannot derive benefit from it. The Mishnah says, throw it to Yam HaMelech. So he asked Rav Zilberstein, if today somebody's scuba diving inside the Dead Sea, what we call the Yam HaMelech, and he finds inside there all kind of instruments, can he take this instrument home? Can he use this instrument? Can he derive benefit from this instrument? It might be Avodah Zarah. It might be some kind of piece of idolatries. It might be something that person dedicated to Beit HaMikdash. And in that case, you're not allowed to derive benefit from it. So if you find these pieces, these things in Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea, can you enjoy it? Can you take it? Can you take it home? Can you derive benefit from it? So he has a long tshuva. And he, but I saw a few years ago, 10 years ago, in fact, a pamphlet of the of a summary of a shir of Rav Shlomo Levinstein. He's a Rav in Bnei Brak. And he brought this question. And he said, and he says that Rav Zilberstein asked his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, this question. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky asked him a very interesting answer, the answer of Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Let's see in source number 5. When Rav Zilberstein asked this question, his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Chaim told him the salt sea that is mentioned when we have to throw away things that we can't benefit from is not the Dead Sea. When the Mishnah says Yam HaMelech, they don't mean the Dead Sea. This is not the Yam HaMelech that we know today. It's something else. Rather, every sea that his waters are salty. So in this case, it could be that the gold that was found wasn't a product you can't benefit from, because it would have made more sense to throw it in the Mediterranean Sea, which was closer. So it must be an item that someone lost, gave up on it, and the item belongs to the finder. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the same way as Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky says that when Chazal and the Rambam say the word Yam HaMelech, they don't mean the Dead Sea. They mean every salty water there is, just not the Kinneret, and it's not necessarily the Dead Sea. And we saw a very interesting halachic ramification regarding if someone finds a vessel inside the Dead Sea. Can he benefit from it? The answer is yes, because we don't assume that people threw away their things only to the Dead Sea, rather to other places. So because of that, you can benefit from this vessel found in Yam HaMelach in the Dead Sea. So this is regarding the question, what is Yam HaMelach? What is this place called Yam HaMelach? Now I want to ask the question that our shir is the shir's title. When was the Dead Sea created? When was the Dead Sea actually born? So this has a very interesting halachic ramification regarding the bracha that we say on special things that we see around the world. Let's see in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch tells us about the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. Upon oceans, rivers, hills, mountains, and deserts, one says, blessed are you, God, our Lord, King of the world, creator of the original creations. The bracha in Hebrew is Baruch Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. Blessed are you for creating these amazing things from the beginning of time, from the days of creation. This is a bracha that you see about, if you see a beautiful mountain, if you see a beautiful river, a beautiful sea, so you say this bracha. The Shulchan Aruch carries on and says, in the continuation, source 6, he says, not on every river should you recite the blessing, but rather on the four rivers, as it written, like Chidekel and Euphrates, or on condition that he saw them in a place that its current wasn't brought there by man. Since we're blessing Hashem on the great creation, on the great things they created from the beginning of creation, so we have to say it only on things that actually were existing from the days of creation, from the time of Bereshit, from the time of the creation of the world. So if there is some kind of new river that came because man started this, managed to move the current to some other place, we shouldn't say a bracha, we shouldn't say this blessing, because we can't say, Baruch Hashem Maaseh Bereshit, blessed are you from the creation that you created from the days of creation. Because it wasn't made from the beginning of time, it wasn't made from the beginning of creation. So in that case, this brought a question, whether we should say a bracha on Yam HaMelach, on the Dead Sea. Why? Because if you'll see in source number 8, the Torah tells us about the wars, the war between the kings. Barshat Lech Lecha and Bereshit. So in the Seif Aleph, there is the group of kings, Amraphel, Avyoch, Kedar LaOmer, Tidal, and they have the war against Bera, Birsha, Shinav, Shem Ever, Tzvoim. All of these kings are having a battle together. Where is their battle taking place? The Torah tells us all the latter joined forces at the valley of Sidim, now the Dead Sea. They joined the forces and the battle took place in the place called the Valley of Sidim. It's a valley that had fields, because Sadeh in Hebrew is a field. It's a valley full of fields. And today this place is called Yam HaMelach. Now this is Yam HaMelach. And Rashi explains to us what is the Valley of Sidim and what is the Dead Sea. So he says, Rashi, that it's named because it contains many fields, Sadot. And now the Dead Sea, after some time, the sea flowed into it, and thus the salt sea came into existence. And the Midrash explanation states that the rocks that surrounded it had cracked and streams thus flowed into it. So Rashi tells us that the Midrash tells us that once, that Yam HaMelach wasn't from the beginning of creation. In the beginning, there was a valley that had fields, that had fruit, and only afterwards, during the destruction of the city of Sodom, there was the destruction of the city of Sodom, and only then it was created. Only then Yam HaMelach was created, only then the Dead Sea was created. But it wasn't created from the beginning of time. So according to this Rashi, we see it wasn't from the beginning of time. Because of this Rashi, a person asked Rav Vosner in source 11. Rav Vosner is a major posting that passed away a few years ago. And he says that he got a question. And he says, I got your question whether to recite a bracha on the Dead Sea. In the beginning, I thought you should recite a bracha because it's God's creation. We're blessing Hashem for his beautiful creation, the Dead Sea. And it is not considered to be changed by man because it was made by Hashem himself, the Lord himself made it. So maybe you should say a bracha. However, Rashi that we just read explained that the Dead Sea was created only after the destruction of Sodom. So it was not created with the creation of the world. Because of this doubt, I think you are right, he says to the person who asked the question, and one should not recite a bracha on the Dead Sea. On the Dead Sea. So says Rav Vosner, since the bracha is, thank you Hashem for your beautiful creations from the beginning of time, but this thing, this Yam HaMelech, is not from the beginning of time. It was in the beginning of time, it was a valley full of fields. There wasn't any sea at the time. So in that case, you cannot say a bracha because it was created only later. I see in the chat, how does this work together with the Syrian African Rift? So actually, someone told me about a study that he saw that there are some evidence saying that there was some kind of fire or very, very, something which had a lot of heat around the place of Yam HaMelech that indicates that there was some kind of fire at the time, which caused a lot of heat in those places. And I said that scientist wanted to say that maybe steroids felt or something like that. But according to the Tanakh, it could be the destruction of Sodom. It could be that the destruction of Sodom had to do something with the Syrian African Rift. It could be. I don't know. It could be. So anyway, according to Rav Vosner, since it was created only later in time, not from the beginning of creation, so we shouldn't say the bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. We see a similar idea in the source 12. That Rav Bitzal Stern said that we should not say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit also on beautiful tall mountains in Rome, because the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create Rome from the beginning of time, but rather the angel Gabriel, he took us. I'll read it from the translation. That Gabriel descended from heaven and implanted reed into the sea, and a sandbar grew around it, growing larger each year, and upon it the great city of Rome was built. So Rome wasn't built from the beginning of time. So because of that, we shouldn't say a bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit on the beautiful mountains of Rome, because also it's not from Maaseh Bereshit, not from the beginning of time, but rather was created later on throughout history. When I came to Canada, so the first place I wanted to visit, obviously, was the Niagara Falls. And I wanted to know whether to say a bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit at the Niagara Falls. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful waterfall. You see a beautiful river and waters. So should you recite a bracha there? So I asked a certain Israeli Rav. He said to me, according to all of these sources, he says, I don't know what happened throughout the years. Was it from the beginning of time? Not from the beginning of time. But I ask all the local rabbis here in Canada, and the custom is, yes, the same Oseh Maaseh Bereshit, because it's a beautiful wonder. And why to assume that it was created later? Regarding Yam HaMelech, we see that Rashi tells us it was created later in time. Regarding Rome, we see that only Gabriel created Rome, but the Niagara Falls, why to say differently? And because of that, we should say a bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereshit on the Niagara Falls, and that's indeed what we did when we saw it for the first time. So we see from here proof and evidence that Yam HaMelech was not created from the beginning of time. It was only created afterwards. And because of that, we have the nafkamina, the ramification regarding the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. However, the Gemara in Source 13, it sounds kind of differently. It sounds different that it was actually created from the beginning of time. The Gemara tells us in Source 13, it's the Talmud of Babatra, Rabbi Yochanan said, what is the meaning of that which is written, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods? The Pasuk says in Tehillim that Eretz Israel, Israel, was founded with rivers and seas surrounding it. So the Gemara explains us, these are the seven seas and four rivers that surround Eretz Israel. And these are the seven seas. So we have seven seas surrounding Israel. I won't go all of them, but the first two are very interesting. The Sea of Tiberias, which is the Kinneret, and the Sea of Sodom. What is the Sea of Sodom? The Dead Sea. So we see from here, according to this Gemara, that Eretz Israel, which was obviously established from the beginning of time, was established with seas surrounding it. And which sea was surrounding it? The Sea of Sodom. Yam HaMelech. So you see from here, the Yam HaMelech was created from the beginning of time. So how does this go with Rashi? Rashi told us that the beginning was only Emek HaSidim. It was a valley of fields. And only afterwards it became Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. But according to this Gemara, according to Chazal, no, it was created from the beginning of time. We have the Sea of Sodom. We have the Dead Sea. So how is this possible? So I came across a reference from the Metivta Gemara that referred me to the book Emunot V'Deot of Rav Saadia Gaon. He was a rabbi who lived close to 1,000 years ago, a very, very ancient Rav. And he says, very interestingly, that the Torah has already told us that the Sea of Sodom was once sweet. As mentioned, that Lot moved there because of his drink. As we all know, that Lot came to Sodom because he separated from Avraham, and he decided he wants to go to live in that area. Why? Because the Torah tells us, Ki kula mashke. It's a place full of drink. So he says that there was the sea around Sodom at the time, and it was sweet. It had good waters, and you could water from it. And as he carries on saying, that this river descended from heaven to water the garden, and so it was a regular ocean with sweet water. It wasn't salty at the time at all, and you could water, you could drink from it and water from it. And he's saying that today it is dry land and salt, and its sea is salty. So we can see that actually in the beginning of time, there was a sea. There was a sea called Yam HaMelech, but it wasn't melach. It wasn't any salt. It was actually a sea which was with sweet water, and it was good. And only afterwards, it became a salty sea. So I found an article. I just Googled it, and I want to know whether there are any fish in Yam HaMelech. So the article says, Dagim Yam HaMelech, Shvila Dagim Behar Sodom Chosefet Tzfulotav Kmo Shem HaMevet, Shelo Tamid Haya Kol Kach Maluach. That's a certain evidence of people who are looking into it, managed to find out, they found that Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea, wasn't always salty, wasn't always dead. They actually had sweet water. They actually had fish. And it wasn't always such a terrible place. So what happened? So I assume that what happened was that it actually was, there was some kind of sea. And with the destruction of Sodom, so some kind of curse happened to the place, and the waters turned to become salty. So indeed, it was a sweet place, but only afterwards it was created to become Yam HaMelech. But the waters to begin with was a place that was created from the beginning of time. So in that case, back to our halachic question, if we see from this Gemara that it was created from the beginning of time, so maybe we should say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereshit on Yam HaMelech, on the Dead Sea, not as Rav Osner says. So there's another reason to say, another reason to claim why not to say this bracha on Yam HaMelech. And it is according to a Mishnah in Masechet Brachot. The Mishnah Masechet Brachot tells us on what kind of foods we say a bracha beforehand. As we all know, before we eat, we say a bracha, we have mezonot, we have shakol. There are certain things that, according to Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah, we shouldn't say. The first rabbi in the Mishnah, Tanakama, says that over vinegar, which is wine that was spoiled, and over nevlot, dates that are spoiled, we should say shakol. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I disagree. We shouldn't say a broche at all on vinegar or on the nevelot, on the spoiled dates and the spoiled wine. Why? Because this is a type of a curse. And one does not recite a blessing over it at all. Everything that was created by a curse, we should not recite a bracha on curses. We don't bless Hashem on bad things. We don't bless Hashem on curses. Very similarly, says Rabbi Yonasan Ivishitz in Source 16, that as we all know, there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, of giving charity, and the question is, why is it that we don't say a bracha before giving charity? If a person is coming by us and asking for help, so why is it that we don't say beforehand, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Al HaTzedakah? Why is that so? So he says, according to the Rosh, we should say, the reason is we don't say a bracha on it because it is not a blessing. but rather it is a curse. And because of our wickedness, there is poverty in the world. In the ultimate society in Jewish life, there won't be a mitzvah of tzedakah. There won't be a mitzvah to help poor people because there won't be poor people. So because of this mitzvah, which was generated by a curse that they have to be poor people in the world, we don't say a bracha on the curse on things which are bad for others. For that very reason, says in Surah 17, the Nimukei Or HaChaim, this is Rabbi Chaim Elazar Shapiro, he was a Hasidish Rebbe, the Munkach Rebbe, and he says, for that very reason, we don't say a bracha on Yam HaMelech. He also said, we don't say a bracha on the Dead Sea, because it was created by the destruction of Sodom, which is a bad association. He's not giving the reason, because it's not created from the beginning of time, because it's not Osem HaSeh Bereshit, but rather the reason why we're not saying a bracha is because it was created. Now today, it was cursed. It's like spoiled wine. It's like spoiled dates. On bad things, on curses, we don't say a bracha. So even if it was created from the beginning of time, as the Gemara says, and Rav Sadeh Gaon says, we won't say a bracha because it was created by a curse. It's changed because of the curse, and we don't say a bracha on curses. I will conclude with the words of Yechezkel Navi, that he also mentions in a certain way Yam HaMelech in Tanakh, and he tells us about the prophecy about the waters that are going to that are going to come from Beit HaMikdash and spread around Israel. I'm reading Source 18, and he's telling about this prophecy that he led me back to the entrance of the temple, and I found that the water was issuing from below the platform of the temple eastward, since the temple faced east, but the water was running out south of the altar under the south wall of the temple. So the waters are now leaving Beit HaMikdash in the time of Mashiach, and it's going to go to the south. And in Pasuk Chet, he says, this water, he told me, runs out to the eastern region and flows into the Araba. And when it comes into the sea, which sea? The Dead Sea, the sea of foul waters, the water will become wholesome. The waters of Yam HaMelech will become sweet once again, and it will be cured from its curse. Every living creature that swarms will be able to live wherever the stream goes. The fish will be very abundant once these waters have reached there. It will be wholesome, and everything will live wherever this stream goes. Fishermen shall stand beside it all the way from En Gedi to En Galim. It shall be a place for drying nests, and the fish will be various kinds and most plentiful, like the fish of the great sea. All kinds of trees for food will grow up on both banks of the stream. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. They will yield new fruit every month because the water for them flows from the temple. Their fruit will serve for good food and their leaves for healing. That La'atid Lavo, the curse of Yam HaMelech, would be cured. It won't be no longer the Dead Sea. It will come back to its original state of sweet water, waters that we could live from, we could drink, we could water it, and even it will have this special value that it could also heal people. So I wish that Mashiach will come as soon as possible, and the Dead Sea will be alive once again. Thank you, everyone.